All right, hi everybody. I'm going to do something similar to what Deanna just did in terms of showing how Rheem can be applied in the planning and evaluation of a particular project, but my talk is going to focus on a specific individual level intervention. And while I wish I had financial relationships to disclose, I do not. All right, so what I'm going to do first is I'm going to provide a quick overview of the actual study to provide a context before I go into the description on how we applied Rheem at all phases of the intervention. So this was a behavioral smoking reduction study called the Smoking Less, Living More study. It was a randomized practical control trial that focused on, we targeted individuals at Kaiser Permanente, Colorado, who were scheduled for some kind of outpatient medical procedure or diagnostic procedure in hopes of using this as a teachable moment to discuss, talk and work with them in relation to their smoking. We focused on individuals who are 18 years of age and older, and they had to smoke 10 or more cigarettes per day and not be ready or willing to quit. So we really were focusing on individuals who wanted to try to make some kind of change with their smoking, but maybe in a more incremental, not so cold turkey kind of way. Those who were interested in cessation, when we did contact them, we did refer them to either health plan resources or the state quit line. And then this particular intervention was delivered over a 6-month period with a 12-month follow-up. So this is a quick overview of the study. We initially identified individuals using the Kaiser Permanente electronic medical record system. Through that system, we screened individuals to identify whether they were a smoker or not. Those individuals who met that criteria were sent an invitation letter letting them know about the study and that we'd be calling them to ask if they were interested in participating. Once we got in touch with individuals, we consented them, enrolled them, and conducted a baseline assessment over the phone. At that point, they were randomized in either the usual care condition of the study or our intervention, which was a combination of telephone counseling and tailored newsletters. And then all individuals completed a 3 and 12-month pen and paper assessment and biochemical validation. So the intervention itself consisted of tailored telephone interviews and tailored newsletters, and these were delivered sequentially. So we'd have a telephone counseling session, sorry about that. And then it'd be followed up with the newsletter, and then we'd go back and have another counseling call with them, and then we'd retailer their newsletter and send that out to them. And so these are the key criteria that we tried to focus on each of the interviews and the newsletter. So assessing what their current smoking level was, whether they were able to achieve their goal or not, what their level of self-efficacy was in terms of reduction, helping them identify any barriers that they might encounter during working on their reduction, and any strategies that they could use to hopefully overcome any barriers identified. And then again, environmental support and assessment of whether any quit attempts had occurred. All right, so now I'm going to present the results of this study in the context of the Rheem framework and how we used each of the dimensions in the planning, execution in terms of methods of this project, evaluation, and our longer-term outcomes. So REACH, as Diane has already described, and Deanna, was our percent of number and percent of target audience and how representative they were. So we wanted to try to attract as representative of a population or study population as possible. So we did use the electronic medical record system to invite the largest number of potentially eligible individuals to participate. Out of those identified in the electronic medical record, we were able to enroll about 30% of our known smokers. And so, to be transparent in our recruitment for the study, we just outlined our recruitment methods and who decided to participate and not participate using the consort diagram. So you can see we were able to identify over 2,000 individuals who met our criteria for the study. And looking at who we were able to contact, we contact and determine eligible, and those who enrolled, we were able to again get 30% of our participant or 30% of the potential subjects to participate. And there were no differences between baseline participants, whether they were randomized to intervention or control conditions, and the average number of cigarettes smoked per day was about 20. So in terms of evaluation of the project in REACH, As I stated before, there were no differences between those who were randomized to control versus intervention, but we did see substantial differences in nutrition between baseline and 3 months. And so you can see here we have about 35% attrition in the study from our intervention group versus 12%. And then in terms of looking at reach and longer-term outcomes, again at 12 months, we had greater attrition in the intervention arm versus the usual care. Bless you. So looking at this project in terms of effectiveness, for planning, we decided to use number of cigarettes per day and quit rates as our practical outcomes. And we also did use expired carbon monoxide as a biochemical validation since cigarettes per day and quit rates were self-reported. In terms of methods and effectiveness, counseling calls were scheduled at the convenience of the participant, and newsletters were tailored to the individual's success or failure at the reduction over the course of the 6 months of the intervention. And then 3 and 12 month outcomes in terms of evaluation and our long-term outcomes, I'll quickly summarize. We had 320 participants complete the study. As you can see, self-reported smoking reduction, which we looked at 50% or greater from their baseline. At 3 months, we had about 16% in the intervention arm and almost 8% in usual care, and that was significant. At 3 months, the mean cigarettes per day was about 17% for the usual care group, and a little lower than that for our intervention folks. Biochemical validation, again, this expired carbon monoxide, you can see we had significant differences between both groups. And there were no differences between quit rates in either of these groups at 3 months. About 23% of both conditions had attempted to quit. Very few of them were successful. And then 12 months, the effects that we saw at 3 months were no longer significant. So we see here the intervention group with about almost 7% had achieved a 50% or greater reduction versus 4.4 in the usual care. And then one thing that was of interest for this particular time period was that our control folks showed considerable improvement in the reduction attempts between 3 and 12 months. And the reason we've speculated for this was a lot was happening in Colorado at the time in terms of smoking and smoking policy. And so we had state tobacco tax or the cigarette tax increased during this time period. We had our statewide indoor smoking ban go into effect, and our state quit line started to offer 2 months free NRT. So a pretty challenging time to work on smoking reduction. Well, all these great things were going on in terms of policy level targeting smoking cessation. And then again, there were no differences between conditions in terms of quitting at 12 months. So for adoption, when we were planning the study, we thought for adoption, we wanted to design something that would potentially fit into the current menu of options being offered at the healthcare system we were doing the study in. And we also trained lay people to deliver the actual telephone counseling calls in hopes of making it easier to adopt and disseminate after the study was completed. And in methods, we worked in our execution of the study for adoption, we worked in several different clinical settings, again, in hopes of making the intervention easy to adopt at a later date. For evaluation, we had hoped in terms of adoption, we would, again, be able to disseminate this into the greater healthcare system. And so we began talks at 3 months in hopes of starting that relationship and process building to get this adopted to be able to offer to our smokers in the health plan. But ultimately, by the end of the study, this was not a success. So, and implementation, which again focuses on the fidelity to the protocol, planning, we again wanted to make sure that this would be easy to adopt. So the protocol itself was designed to be fairly easy, but also to be tailored to the individuals and delivered by individuals who didn't need to be highly trained. And given that this was it was designed to be fairly easy to deliver, we were pretty successful with our actual execution of delivering the intervention calls and the newsletters. So we had 79% of intervention participants receive 3 or more of the 4 counseling calls. and 73% received four or more of the newsletters. And for those that were who didn't withdraw, thank you, we had about 96% who received all of their calls and about 89% who received the newsletters. So we were pretty happy about that. In terms of evaluation, again, the competing contextual factors that we could not plan for during the course of the study, and we really truly don't know how that ultimately impacted any of the, really didn't impact the protocol of the study, except for the one component where the state quit line, where people had access to NRT, which we were not offering to the study as a part of the study, so that could have potentially impacted our project. And then cost. We did a cost estimate, cost evaluation of delivering our intervention, and as prescribed by our protocol, it was about $652 per participant relative to usual care, which made that, we thought, pretty cost effective. And then maintenance for, again, both intervention and control conditions continued to improve between 3 and 12 months, and there were no between condition differences using intent to treat analysis because we had such large attrition rates. Both self-reported and carbon monoxide measures were no longer significant at 12 months. So in conclusion, the project was developed within a particular context, smokers experiencing specific types of outpatient procedures in a healthcare organization. So would we see similar results or different results? We tried to translate this into a different patient population or different setting. To enhance transparency in reporting, again, we used each of the dimensions of REAIM. And again, these should be considered at all phases of the study and project. And overall, the project was well received, even though our results weren't as promising as we wanted them to be at 12 months for individuals who are unwilling or not ready to quit. And just a few people I'd like to thank.